we don't go by our left brain, right? Left brain is your human reasoning and logic. And logos, as Kirby pointed out, is like God's logic, right? So actually, God's logic is on the right side.
Wow.
Man's logic's on the left.
So God is left-handed.
No, God is right. But yeah, God. God is left. Has to use our hand, but he's actually right-minded. You have a right-minded, left-handed God. That's the way to do.
Well-balanced God.
There you go.
Maybe. Can you share again? I missed the beginning. I come in a bit late.
Oh, okay. I'll paste it. Okay, I'll paste it on the chat, then everybody can see if they come in late. Okay. This is just to help people to come in on time.
You know, Pastor, on Thursday we had our Melchizedek discussion.
Okay.
What I understood was the technologies of Adam. Speaking the word, the name of Jesus, the word, and breathing. That was a technology of Adam. And I said, wow, that's what we are doing in our meditation every day. We are already flowing into this technology of Adam, I was thinking, and I wanted to share this good news with you.
Absolutely. Wow. That's amazing.
Technology of Adam. Wonderful.
I like it. Wow. Breathing is so, so, so precious and important.
Yeah.
You know, and we just ignore it. Mindful breathing, being conscious of breath. I mean, actually, if you be conscious of the breath and you breathe in a certain way, it is you can literally get astral projections, you can get out of body experiences, you can start remote viewing and all that stuff. Absolutely, it's a technology that God has given us. You know, I know people who have just done breaths and they have literally got into visions and dreams and astral projection and out of body experiences and all that stuff. So if you know, sometimes if you just breathe for half an hour, 1 hour, that's enough. So there is a technique, one technique is, what you do is, you breathe from one nostril and breathe out from the other nostril, then breathe in from that nostril which you breathe out, and then breathe out from the nostril. You alternate between both the nostrils. So when you do this just before the meditations, that can literally activate your brain and get you into a state of trance, out of body experiences, astral projections, all that stuff. So absolutely, breathing, so very important. It is a technology that I think everyone has who is alive. And we can literally have a lot of stuff. So there is, with your breath, what you can do is you can activate the DMT molecule. DMT is that particular chemical release that can go to your pineal gland, and you can start seeing visions. So amazing stuff you can do with breath work. Yeah.
You know, the nostril exercise you just said, like what is it suggested like number of times that you can do it, or do you do it until you kind of like entranced?
I'm not sure about it, like how long or I mean how it just activated sometimes when I want to do a bit of meditation, I do it. But it also helps for the vagal vein, I think. Vagal, what do you call it?
The vagus nerve.
Vagus nerve, yeah.
Because I heard Mike say from something from, I guess, Joe Dispenza or somebody, like, what did he say? 30 deep breaths is equivalent to 4 hours of meditation.
Wow.
Like, I mean, if you can get into 30 deep breaths, and is there a way of making your breaths deeper than what you already are doing?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because I feel like my deep breaths are not deep enough.
I think, yeah, you can be doing deep breaths, but I'm sure it takes a practice. I think you need to start doing, who is that? Wim Hof also. Wim Hof is good.
Can you just post your suggested ones on the fitness and fellowship?
Yeah, surely.
Because I think I did a, during monogenetics, I think I did a little research on this, and there is a test that you can do to determine how deep is your breath and things. So I realized that when I did that test, I didn't score very high on that one. So it's like I'm just thinking, how do I deepen my breath?
I think it's a simple way, start practicing it, because Wim Hof is...
the one that you mentioned about the nostril... Brother Venu, isn't that Indian?
This is a yogic one.
Yeah, what is it called? And then also the way you position your fingers is got to do with, like what you say, the vagus nerve. It goes to all the meridian, right? There is something on it. A long time ago, I used to practice that. And then again, you know, this is new age stuff. We should not do that, right? The yogic stuff. So we gave that all up. But... people who rush around like me, really, I don't know how to breathe. You know, when I really think about it,
me too.
You don't know how to breathe. You said do a deep breath. Like suddenly, my goodness, am I breathing? Actually, not. Most of the time, we're holding our breath in the wrong way, not the right way. And I tried actually the Wim Hof breathing. Then you actually can suddenly just actually go into turbo strength and a lot of things. I did the Joe Dispenza one. There's a special technique that you have to go all the way down, almost like Qigong, and then it comes all the way back up to your breath, and all the way, imagine that goes up to your pineal gland and recycle back. It's a little bit, it's actually like the Qigong way, you know, like go to your Tan Tian and then move up. It's like there is no Tan Tian, right? It's just a energy center that is near your our you know, like a belly button, just somewhere below there.
All so up like
you have to be, it's actually mindfulness practice, right?
Yeah.
And you just have to focus. It sounds like so easy that we're doing it all the time anyway, but we don't. If you look at people, people can. The breath is so shallow that we don't actually get enough oxygen anywhere. You know, the shallow breath. When I really think about it, I'm like, how do you breathe? I really forgotten how to breathe, you know? It's so funny. I did once with the Melissa Fisher, right? Just to do the exercise, like body exercise. And she's like, Judy, you're not breathing. I said, am I not breathing? Then she said, no, you're holding your breath. And then every time I do something, I'm like, am I breathing? You say, yes, you're breathing. It's like, it's so funny. I have to ask someone, am I breathing? You know, it's ridiculous.
I know. Yeah. I asked her one time, I said, okay, what kind of exercise can I start on? She says, you don't start any exercise. You just learn how to breathe first.
Okay.
So I never started any exercise.
But baby never had to start, right? You look at them, they're belly button go really high up and go really, you know, down. We have to fall, learn from the baby, back to basic.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the
I think
the,
we need as a fitness and fellowship class, you know, Verno, have to have an actual video. We all follow you. It's like we just do a class on video, you know, how to breathe.
So the yogic ones are called pranayama. So we have pranayama, breathing.
That's right, pranayama.
Pranayama is alternate. We have something called as alternate nostril breath, and also we have something called as Kapalbhati. Kapalbhati is you literally you know, squeeze your stomach and let out the breath completely. Like you can literally see your stomach touching your back. That's Kapalbhati.
That's the one. That's the one that Joe Dispenza teaches. It goes all the way. You feel the breath all the way up.
Yeah, and it's very good also for your stomach and your digestion and all that stuff. So lot of benefits. So, I tried Wim Hof. It's quite good because it also turns your blood alkaline when you breathe properly.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's the whole idea. So get the blood alkaline from this breathing. Yeah, so and, alkalizing the blood.
Oh, cool, good. Man! We're gonna be alkalized experts here. You know, water and breath. have these two elements. We get the other two.
Exactly.
That would be like, we would be like, that's it, rulers of the world, man.
Sometimes when you do that, like, you literally start seeing numbness all over your body. Sometimes you just you know, conk off, you just get into a trance, you just go to sleep and you start seeing dreams. A lot of stuff happens, you know. There are breaths, then you literally start seeing visions and all that stuff. So if you lie down and do this Wim Hof method and all this stuff, you just start getting into dreams, visions and all that stuff. I remember Rehard was sharing once. Rehard was doing this breath, just Jesus, you know, and breathing in. Jesus, Jesus, all that that way, and he literally had an out of body experience where his spirit left his body and it went top of his roof and he started seeing his body down there and then it came back. So that kind of experience, guys. So it's good to do this. I mean, Wim Hof has a app that you can use and put on the app, and it literally guides you in. I think there's a YouTube videos also. There's one video where Joe Dispenza and Wim Hof, both the breathing techniques are there.
Oh, so cool. Must share that one.
I mean, there's an app on that. I watched the video to do the Wim Hof breathing some time ago, but I think I didn't persist, you know. Breathing work is like, wow, takes too long, you know.
So it takes patient. Long. Yeah, it yeah. takes long.
You got to be very patient and mindfulness. The minute you want to do that, there's like so many things coming up, right? Oh, my goodness.
Especially it's good. You have around, you can, it's like 1 hour, I guess, the video is on YouTube. But it's just, if you even do it for 15 minutes, that's enough. Sometimes I've literally see it's Wim Hof is very it's not somebody post commented here, you just rest, something like that.
I think Lianita. Wim Hof sometimes they are suggesting in Wim Hof a couple of times that when you're doing it, they suggest don't do it alone because you can black out.
Exactly.
So you know, and you got to be very careful and have someone at home with you. I think Wim Hof as this, but it's easier to do than the Joe Dispenza one. It's so difficult to breathe all the way, suck all the way in, and then, you know, to see all the way go up to your chest and up to your nostril and back down. That I think that's how the Wim Hof is easier.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like hyperventilating kind of thing, but yet it's not.
Yeah. Yes. Agree with it. Joe Dispenza is more kind of complicated than Wim Hof. Wim Hof is like breathe in, breathe out.
Take I think Joe Dispenza, isn't it more like the yogic breathing?
Yes. It is more.
Really, I kind of
literally it, tells it, you to, what do you call it? It literally tells you to focus and push your the liquid in your backbone to the spinal cord.
Spinal
to your
fluid
pineal,
all the way
pineal.
Back. Up,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I've done that before. But I know one friend of mine who had experiences with that breathing technique.
But it really makes sense, right? Because our spinal cord is basically where it connects heaven and earth, right? Where it really goes up and down your brain to your spinal cord. And if the whole thing moves, then really it's where the minute electrical impulses. And it really makes sense, like what you say, we can receive the reception is clearer. We can hear things and open our senses, right? Absolutely. So this is really, you know, like I like Debbie, she started this, you know, iron sharpen iron. You really sharpen your own thought wave even better and better. But why are we so lazy then? Well, myself, I'm saying.
But that's why
I always thought that.
I mean, you know what? I mean, like, I find like that's why we need each other, you know? That's why we need fellowship. That's why we need to have others, because I know myself, like, to get kickstarted into exercise or meditation, anything that takes discipline, right? And it's not something that I naturally would do. Or some people are just naturally, they like to do this kind of stuff. But if it's not in your natural regime of stuff, you need to be with others, right? That's why they have gyms, and that's why they have coaches and stuff. So yeah, I'm willing to put aside 1 hour sometime if other people want to do it, or 30 minutes or something, where we can at least get kickstarted to learn how to breathe before I start getting it into a habit and I can do it myself.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? But at this time, I love the concept. I want to do it. I have a desire, but I don't have the discipline or, you know, like I don't know if I'm doing it correctly. I think that's the problem with a lot of this. You know, you look at something and it's like, am I doing it properly? Even like with yoga, right? I look at the video and I'm going, where did she put her, you know, how far is her foot in front of her? I'm like, you know, it's really hard, you know, like if you had somebody who was doing it with you, it's sort of easier to sort of figure out, right? If you're doing it correctly. I think that's the thing, like, we don't know what it means by how, like, push this much back or this, you don't know. So it's like, it's kind of nice to do it with other people and they go, okay, is it like that? Then you can ask questions and stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
So what do you think? Can we like have a 30-minute sometime, somewhere, twice a day? No, not twice a day, twice a week or something like that.
Yes. In fact, in Mystical Tribe, I want to start a lot of stuff like yoga also. Okay, it's called, there is also something called as holotropic breathwork. Holotropic breathwork is where you're inducing altered states in your mind. I'll just type it down so you can. It's good. I wanted to start all this breathwork and yoga maybe once a week, but I just want to get trained and certified, and then do it, you know, rather than just doing it. Gaining information from internet.
So until you're certified, we just have to go to Wim Hof, right? video.
Yeah. Wim, because it's safer. It's safer, Wim Hof. But the yogic breaths, I need to really study it because I'm...
No. I think like you said, let's start with the basics first.
Wim Hof is quite safer.
Exactly. So can you at least be non-certified and teach us Wim Hof?
Oh, that's quite easy. There's a video and you just do it. He just guides you through the whole...
I know. But what I was saying was maybe I'll ask on Fitness Fellowship if anybody wants to do it at a certain time.
Wonderful. We can do it. Yeah.
We just do that together. What I'm saying is, yeah, we don't need someone to teach us as much as at a certain time, you know, we say, okay, let's fellowship and all breathe together during this thing. Yeah. And then we watch it, you know, like whatever.
Yeah. What we can do is just after our morning meditation, we can just do it, you know. Put it through YouTube and put it through Zoom and do it.
Cool, good idea.
Yeah.
That
holotropic
is
breathwork.
That's Wim Hof. Wim Hof.
Holotropic is not Wim Hof. There is a breathwork called as holotropic. It is more to do with, seeing visions and all that stuff.
Mm. Isn't there a really nice, where is that? A really good place in Bangalore, which is like a retreat. It's all Ayurvedic. And they teaches you how to do deep breathing and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you heard Sadhguru. Sadhguru has places where they are doing the breath, I mean, the whole yoga, like Hatha yoga and all that stuff, including this thing. Isha yoga, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our church members, they go every morning for... there is something called as breath yoga that they do, breathing and then hatha yoga and all that stuff. They started, they were sharing their experience and they told me that, you know, throughout the day they feel very energetic.
Because it clears, it's the same as the Chinese qigong, right? The breath word. It really... Yeah. When it makes your blood alkaline, your body then actually detoxes itself and it actually energizes to all the extremities like the brain. Because a lot of people, the brain don't get enough oxygen, the breath don't go up and don't go down. So as that's why they say as people grow older, they can't hear properly, they can't see properly, right? And the brain goes down because there's not enough oxygen and hydration. So the breath what really energizes every part, especially the whole brain. So it is also very good for like diseases, any serious diseases. So even with the deep breathing, I know that you can actually then know where the blockage is anywhere in the body. So
absolutely.
It's like so simple, so basic. It's so there that we have to do every day, but yet we don't do it. You know, it's like, ayo, what's wrong with us? Wow. Breathing, like, yeah. What about everybody? Anybody have any experience? Anybody else here?
For breathing, right? When you're breathing.
Yeah. Want to hear from anybody else, you know.
When I did it, like I had an experience of completely getting numb and then... going into dream state. So I was like getting I went into an altered state it was completely like visions coming up in front of my eyes one after the other, and then I went straight into the delta state and all this stuff, but it starts like you can also see this this lights before your eyes. Kirby calls them like these angel lights. When you close your eyes, you see these lights moving around you. That kind of experience. Yeah. Glenita saying no experience, all this is new for me. We can try it out. We can try it out and, you know, practice it. Maybe next week. Today is Saturday, so tomorrow. I think we can try it out, or even tomorrow. But tomorrow, I think next week is a better idea. We can all do it. And
great idea.
Anushka said she was floating.
I did it once and thought I was literally... Yeah, yeah, I felt that same experience of floating. And the best thing is, some of these things are free, you know. Most of the things that we have, like drinking a lot of water, free. Breathing mindfully is free. And literally, people have heal their sicknesses through this stuff. Wow. Is it not amazing that the Jews were into the breath work and their prayer was breathing?
Yeah. Going back to the basics.
Yeah, the Jews were into it. I mean, all the religions, all the culture, all the philosophies have their own way and method of breathing. Best part is that all of them work.
So true. If you look at the Chinese and the Indians, right? They are very old and they are very, the ones that do the breath work stuff, they're very smart people there, right? They do astrology, they do math, they do all sorts of things, right? So they seem to be like superhuman kind of thing. But basic is breath work, right? So whether is it Tai Chi, Qigong, or your Pranayama, breathing, funny, all the Christian is like saying that don't touch all this thing. Strange.
Christians, when will you wake up?
It reminds me of the verse about the cares of this world, you know, will choke out things.
I feel like
choking is like when we are so anxious and running around our stuff, right? It's like we are choking, right? When you're choking, what does it mean? It's like it's basically you're gonna be breathless, right? Taking out your breath. So that verse, I mean, I would actually go and like to see the what you call it, the biblical origin of that word choke in that verse. It probably is taking away your breath.
Absolutely. You know?
And that would go with the meaning of you know, choking away the seed, you know, so that it doesn't get burst, right?
Yeah. Have you noticed?
That verse is from Matthew 13, right? Yeah.
Have you noticed that when it is when there is kind of fear, when there is kind of you know, some kind of anxiety, worry, your breath shortens up, you know, but you don't realize it. You breathe shorter, short breaths.
Yeah.
And trauma, when there is trauma in our life, the breaths are short and we don't realize it. And when we deep breathe, I think sometimes we just let loose and let go those traumas that are locked down into our body.
Actually, in monogenetics, Kirby talks about like when somebody is in a sudden panic or something like that, you know. Actually, he says, you know, you just like hold your breath, not deep breathe. Just hold your breath.
Yeah.
Because it breaks the cycle that your body is going into. Your body is about to spin into this, you know, short breath when something happens. So he says, if you hold your breath, you actually break it. And then you breathe, you know. Yeah. So that was a very interesting concept, because usually what happens in panic situations is we go okay deep breathe, but that's not the thing. You're supposed to get the person to hold their breath before they go on, you know.
Yeah, I remember once I did, and there was like a sudden burst of laughter, you know. So even that happens, and a release of laughter and all that stuff, funny stuff. So yeah, maybe we can try, and then we will have more testimonies of people of their experiences where we can understand, you
For sure, because I'm really not a seer or a feeler, so
know.
I really need to sharpen that,
You
you call it
are.
as
Hey
senses.
Debbie, I want to tell you are, but you are not.
Express it differently, right?
You keep saying
Yeah.
I'm not, I'm not, I'm not, and so you know
You
you're
don't,
really
if you
not.
don't see,
I
how do
am,
you
I
write
am.
so well?
Yeah.
I am,
You
I
first
am.
see it first, right? Then you can write it, right?
I mean, Stella was when she joined Mystical Tribe, Stella, I remember she said, I cannot see. I could
Yes.
not see. And today she's the one who will put up her testimony in the Mystical Tribe saying, oh, I saw this, I saw that, I saw this.
Wow.
Yeah. So, hey, Debbie. And I was telling Stella, hey, Stella, you can see. And it's simple and it's easy.
Yeah, about breathing too. I was going to hospital for my polyps in my nose, and
Okay.
they showed me how to breathe using your thumb and your first finger. You close one side and breathe in with that nostril, and
Exactly.
then use your first finger, close that side, and breathe out through the other.
Yeah, maybe I can show that what you're saying. Wait just a
That's
moment.
very cool, Stella.
And
It's
now,
pranayama, right? That's very
yeah,
good, Stella. That's very practical for
you
me.
can see on the
And
camera. Let me show you how to do that. This how they do in pranayama. Where is it? How can I bring my
we
camera
see
there?
you on the screen.
I can see you. Yeah, I can see. Yeah, we
Okay.
see.
It's you keep your hands like this, and it's like.
Oh, so cool, so cool. Easy.
Yeah, you
And you have to,
alternate. You alternate.
yeah, you have to breathe in deep, and I found my polyps are getting shrunk.
Wow.
Lack of oxygen. It's so amazing, right? You go to the doctor for polyps and they teach you how to breathe. It's like,
He's a good doctor.
it's a good doctor.
Because
It's not a
I
Western doctor.
refuse. I refuse operation. I didn't want to. So
Wow.
they taught me this.
That's amazing.
So the doctor say, okay, you don't want to pay me, I'll teach you a free way.
Now I'm gonna teach you the
Yeah.
That's really good. That's really good. I like that. I like these practical mechanics and stuff. That's
Yeah,
really
I
good.
mean,
But Stella, is that an Indian doctor or a Asian doctor or what?
Chinese.
there
Chinese
you go.
doctor teaching you how to do that. Where
Yeah.
is that? Is it in TCM, in Malaysia?
Yeah, in Malaysia.
Wow, that's a really good
Or
doctor. That's
General
very.
Hospital. General Hospital in Malaysia.
That is so rare. Usually they tell you don't believe in such thing, okay?
There, Anushka is saying, once when I was deep breathing, I felt someone in my room watching over me. Wow. That's amazing. The yogic practice are amazing. There's one where you put the water in one nostril and remove the water out from the other. I don't know what you call
Yeah, I
it.
have to do that also. I had they taught me, they gave me a syringe and they asked me to do that to clear all the phlegm inside.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we get out of our sinuses, issues and all that stuff. Wow. So we have in Goa and in India some very certified yoga classes that go on. So probably I'll be doing some and then we can have proper classes here in Mystical Tribe.
Exciting.
Yeah. I'm waiting for my friend. He's from South Africa. Some of you guys know. His name is Gerard Brith. So Gerard Brith has already started. His church setup is more of this year. has been more of yoga and meditation and all that stuff. He's prophet and basically has grown under the teaching of Prophet Kobus. So he's waiting for the airlines to start and all that, the borders to open up properly and to come down here to Goa, and we both going to go ahead and do this do the yoga course certification and all that stuff.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Then when you guys are ready, then you invite us to the Goa, you know, retreat center, right? I mean,
we gotta have the Christocentric retreat center.
Yeah, it's the Christocentric, you know, elevation center.
Yeah.
To get elevated, so we're all gonna go there. It's you know, Christocentric elevation. I don't like the word retreat because it's like going backwards, right?
Yeah.
So I don't use the word retreat, but the thing is, yeah, so it must be like the Christocentric elevation you know, center. Absolutely. That we go to. So there you go, you know, the future of Goa is in this. All these people going there.
Future
to go
of the mystical tribe.
We're all going there, you know. So that's so cool.
You guys got to do yoga with worship music, you know, it's amazing. Like it's really amazing. You feel completely different. And I'm not talking about...
First of all, yoga is so difficult to just even follow the movements, you know, let alone... I mean, I tune out anything else because I'm just trying to focus on where to put the leg, where to put the...
No, the simple ones. Simple ones are like the cobra pose, the downward dog.
Yeah, I can do that. It was just the moving of all that kind of stuff.
It's, if you learn that, it's literally is like worship and dance. It's literally like that. You are literally dancing with that move.
Can you see it? Can you see it at a church now? Okay, we're having worship. Everybody gets into the dog pose and the cobra pose. I'm just like, you know, in a lot of churches, like they take out the flags and, you know, they do all that kind of stuff. And then you have this church, you know, okay, it's time for worship. Okay, everybody go in cobra pose, dog pose.
Yeah.
I think future of worship.
And now we end up with a headstand.
The upside down kingdom.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. No.
Even a simple headstand is such a beautiful thing. I mean, that's amazing thing. And I think in one of my teaching, I said it's all about altering the state of your mind. And just altering the state of your mind is how you really tap into spiritual stuff.
Yeah, I just felt too dizzy to do it again. I tried it. And then when I felt like bouts of vertigo, you know, with my head, when I did the headstand, I thought, not going to go through that again. So I think I have to take things.
In fact, the headstand is very good for vertigo, Debbie.
You have to get across the initialness, right?
Yeah.
That was my battle because I'm doing it about, you know, for myself, my son's watching me. But the thing is, I'm going, oh, I hate the feeling. I don't like the feeling. So I like, okay, I'm not going to do that one.
Yeah, maybe somebody needs to just be there with you. Lift your legs, put it up, and slowly do it.
Yeah, I did that with my son, but still, it's just the feeling, the rush in your head that I you can't, because it's gonna that blood has to rush to your head, right? So
yeah,
that was the thing.
Yeah. Mm.
And you can lie on your bed, Debbie, and like before you wake up, right? Just let your head hang down off the side of the bed. And like stretching backward like that. Just do that little bit a day. When you can get still, yeah. That's a safer way until you get, you know, like more. So you're stretching downwards, but you're moving downwards, but you're not standing up yet. That until you get used to that.
Oh, that's a very good tip. I think, yeah, things have to be done incrementally. Yeah, it's true. It's a very good tip. Like, you know, incremental. Even the nostril to nostril thing, that's incremental. I think that's, for me, that's a key word. You know, everything, sometimes it just cannot be done like kajunk, you know, incremental.
Yeah. In fact, the whole yoga thing is, I think it's called Hatha Yoga, where it is step by step. So you go step by step from one pose to the other, and it's like from the easy to the difficult. So it's step by step going from one pose to the other, and incrementally increasing your difficulty level. And yeah.
Actually, so, it's such a good exercise, right? Yoga. It really stretches every part of the muscle, stretches every part of your organ, you know, your meridian stretches your everything, your all the nerves, your spine and your neck. Mm-hmm. Even you don't even know there's muscles like that. It's such a good exercise. I really don't know why the Christians say don't touch that, you know. It's like so good. Even Qigong is like that, right? Qigong, it moves the circulation every part of, or Tai Chi. So, wow.
We really have absolutely. I mean,
That's the thing right now, you know. My 7 days have to be divided into 2 days Qigong, 2 days yoga, 2 days HIT. So it's like, not enough days, 1 day rest. I think that's what it is. 2 days, 2 days, 2 days. Can't get it in. Everything is good. Everything is balanced. So it's like, okay, let's do it.
Offer your bodies as living sacrifice.
Amen.
That is true worship, says the good old.
See, the other side of me argues, you know. They go, hey, it's not by works. Not by works. No need to, don't have to work it up. You're trying to work up. Why can't it just be like received by grace?
Yeah. Yeah, so you see, Debbie, did you hear my sermon on garden theology? I spoke on this.
It's long time.
More, it's more about, are you looking at it as work or are you looking at it as a hobby? So because even Adam and Eve were working in the Garden of Eden, but for them that was not really hard work, a work of struggle. It was an enjoyment, actually. It's like, it was like more of a hobby kind of thing for them. They were gardeners. So so
the beginning it will seem like an effort because you're not used to it. It's like a what they call cognitive dissonance, right? It doesn't like just flow in. It's not a natural thing, but then as you do it, then your body has a program, right? Then it goes into it. But the verse that comes to me about all this is the one that I think in Timothy where it says about to exercise your spiritual senses.
Yeah.
You know, was it now? I can't remember the whole
verse. Yeah, I know that. It says it profits a little.
Yeah, but it's something like that. We are exercised, your senses are exercised thereby. Something like that. That speaks to me about like when you said about breathing, you know, how it affects your pineal gland and your spinal cord and therefore the electrical impulses that put you in an altered state so that you can operate from a spiritual dimension, you know. And the same with Qigong and the same with yoga and the same with everything else. It actually, anything that can recreate the programs in your physical state, in your physical state into a spiritual state, that is called exercising your spiritual senses. So as much as I'm, you know, so it's actually not a physical exercise. If we look at it like it's actually a spiritual reprogramming.
Absolutely.
No, it's a spiritual reprogramming exercise. Then you sort of see the value in it. Then you sort of don't disregard it. But you realize this is exactly what I'm doing. I'm exercising my spiritual senses, which have become desensitized by my physical doings.
Yeah.
You know? So to become a spiritual being, we actually need to do spiritual doings and to get to the spiritual being. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, for me, that sort of like when I'm talking to myself, when I don't want to do it, I persuade my subconscious. I persuade myself, you know, I have to do it. It's my spiritual health. Yeah. I need to do it. And actually, when you're doing it for your spiritual health, your physical health benefits.
Absolutely. Because the whole, way of Christians looking at this stuff is separation. We look at the mind, body, and the spirit as three different things. And we look at the body as something to do with, we confuse with the word flesh and the body. Flesh and body, we say, okay, they are that. Whenever we read in the Bible the word flesh, we think it's the body. It's not actually the body. Flesh means the carnal works. That is what it means. So we look at the body, something it is pertaining to the world, it is not spiritual. But in fact, the truth is, the body is the main powerhouse for us to get into the spiritual realm. It's the antenna where we can get connected into the spiritual realm. So if the imagine what really helps you, it's if your body is proper, your hormones are proper, your mind will be proper, and you'll be able to pray more efficiently or meditate more efficiently or get connected to God. When I say get connected to God, meaning get into the spirit realm more efficiently. Have you tried meditating when your stomach is upset? Have you tried meditating when you have a severe migraine? Have you tried meditating when you have serious pain in your body? It's very difficult. So why don't we really fix our body first, and then we see the mind will follow and the spirit will follow. So I heard Prophet Kirby saying in the emotion series that you are running and then you realize and then your emotion is following, you know. Did you hear that? You run and your emotion follows and says, okay, and you know, that fear comes. And then you are realizing that you are running now, and now the emotion of fear is there in you. So your body literally influences your emotions. So
I heard about that. Yeah, it's both, yeah. Right? Your body influences your emotion when it goes the whole thing.
It's all one, it's all integrated, and that oneness, I think, needs to practice right from ourselves. The body, mind, and spirit, they are all one. They're all spirit entities. Everything is one. We can't divide it.
I mean, this is such a cool, it's almost like a revelation, you know, how the body, we're not three entities. We're not spirit, soul, and body. We are one body, right? And therefore, when we talk about, I mean, it's such a revelation. I think I'm going to write about this. It's so cool to me. It's like exactly, you know, how all these different things are to bring us into a more a healthy spiritual state, which then is the healthy spiritual state of our body. When your spirit is healthy, your mind is healthy, your body is healthy, period.
Exactly.
Bam.
And you know, the problem is we try to do it vice versa. We say, as you said, Debbie, we say if our spirit is healthy, our mind will be healthy, and then only our body will be healthy. It's actually vice versa. If your body is healthy, your mind will be healthy, and your spirit will be healthy. You as a being will be healthy. So it's like more we focus on our body. That's why the Bible says it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the spirit follows, the whole thing follows. And it's quite amazing that we take one scripture in the Bible, in the entire Bible, where it speaks about mind, body, and spirit. And then we say, look, it's there in the Bible. So that means these are three entities. And then we have this thing that we say, that you are a spirit living in the body. We are not a spirit, we are a being. Body, mind and spirit are one being. Vernal is not just a spirit, vernal is the body, vernal is the mind, vernal is the spirit.
Wow, it's wow, that's like, okay, again a question of prepositions, you know, not in body, you know, but it is the body. So it's, that's really that's really, to me right now, the picture is a little bit different, because I used to say that. I think I used to always like try to explain it like that, you know, that it's the spirit being housed in the body. But really, actually, it's the being, you know, the being is wholly interwoven, mixed together. There's no way you can separate spirit from mind, mind from body. There's no way. It's all interwoven, you know. Wow, that is really,
that's something. Why we are called human being, you know.
Exactly I've always done that. I mean, I've always seen the human beings versus the human doings, but I think it's sort of hitting me now as the fact of everything is the being, you know, and not the the separation. That's really cool. I have to meditate on this further and write something about this, because
I'm only this season I'm just more focused, and my Facebook post and all are more on the separation mindset. And the separation mindset is such a illusion, as such a lie that we are having. And most of the issues, most of the problem is because we are separating things, and we are not looking it as the one, the oneness, you know. So because we look at things separately, things are disoriented. Why is our mind not aligned to our body? Why is our spirit not aligned to our mind? And because we look at it as separate, that's why it's not aligned, it's disoriented. So what do? We look at it as one. We are spirit, mind, body, one. That oneness. And when we look at it as one, then we will give equal attention to that oneness of us. We take care of our health, we'll do the meditations, and then spirit will follow. So, you know, so that's what we have, the fitness group in WhatsApp, that takes care of the body. We have the meditations in the morning, and the spirit will just follow. I mean, it's just going to, this is called a spirituality, when body, mind and spirit, which is looked as one, this is how we move. Wow. Okay.
I think it's really like it says, you know, when you talk about seeking first the kingdom of God, you know, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's if the kingdom of God is within, right? Mm-hmm. And within is the spirit, soul, body, you know, and then you realize that when you seek first the well-being of your being, essentially, let's say that you have to rephrase that verse. If you seek first the well-being of your being, you know, every, you know, I wouldn't even say every part, because it's actually one part. So I'm trying to catch myself here, you know. But when you're actually focused on the well-being of you, you are really therefore in line with that verse, that you are actually, it's not the running around seeking first, I want to be the, you know, I want to serve the church, I want to do this, I want to do that, and all the rest of it. That used to be like the interpretation of seeking first, you know, laying down your life so you go and sacrifice your time and go and do this and that and all the rest of it. But it's actually self-love, you know. It's actually taking care of your state of your being. And I'm just, a little bit of a distraction here, but I'm just thinking of the question that I have to deal with. Like, okay, so yesterday, two days ago, one of my Pakistani refugees who was working at a construction site, he fell, right, and he died, you know, and he has four kids and a widow, and it's like, here's a Christian refugee, you know, and people are saying, you know, yeah, does he, because there's this always thing about the Muslim refugees, and then see these Christians, you know, and then, you know, they, you know, why would they happen if their God is so good and should protect them and all that? And just in reflecting about an answer like that, you know, like, it's really, it's because as we know, it's not about an outside God. You know, it's not about the genie God that's there to catch you when you fall and to do all these things and protect you. It's not. It's the state of that being. Yeah. You know, if that being, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm just thinking out loud. But if that being was like really in line, like, you know, taking the time to meditate, and he's conscious all the time, you know, he's not in an unconscious flow. It's an accident. Maybe the accident wouldn't have happened.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. So, okay. So like, you don't want to say that. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm having to talk to the refugees and I'm like, okay, so he leaves behind. I mean, it's compounded, you know, the problems are so compounded now because, okay, so here's his wife and four kids. They have to send this body back to Pakistan. The fare is like quadrupled, right? It's like, it's not just, let's say, you know, 20,000 baht to just fly. It's now like 80,000 baht. Like, here's this refugee wife and, you know what I mean? And they're talking to me and I'm going, oh, yeah, I mean, it's a tough call, you know? And they can't even go, the wife and the four kids, they can't go back to Pakistan either with airline prices like that. And so where do we go next? And these are Christians who are now questioning, like, we're Christians, you know, we believe in this God and all that. But then you have to go back to the basics and go, you know what? It's not this outside God that you believe that's going to just send his angels and catch your husband when he falls and he's going to, you know, I don't know, like, do all these things because you're Christian. Because there's this impression that because I'm Christian, nothing bad happens. Then when something bad happens, it's like, why did God do this?
Yeah,
why do bad things happen to Christians? Like I met another guy yesterday. He gave up his $400,000 job, a 400,000 baht job. He was like some manager of something and he was like making lots of money, 400, 500. That's like half a million baht a month. You know, that's his pay. And he said, oh, I gave it up, you know, because I wanted to go and serve God. You know, okay, so he gives up this job, right, to serve God. And you know, so his wife can't handle all this stuff, you know. Before that, his wife had left him. And then the next wife, you know, he's telling his next wife, I used to give you 50,000 baht a month and all, but now I cannot support you because I'm going to serve God, you know. And they have three kids, right? He says, you have to go out and work, you know, because I have to go and serve God, right? And then, before that, after he gives up his thing, right, he tells God, okay, now I want to serve you and all that. He's got these two girls and he can't go to work, right? And he comes to a point where he has no food, you know, he's like, he can't get money and all that. And he's going, God, why? I'm serving you. Why? Why am I in this situation? You understand? It's like the mind of people is like, if I go and seek first your kingdom, all these things will be added to me. Same with the Pakistani Christian refugees, you know. I'm going because I'm persecuted in my country by the Muslims. So I'm going to go flee and I go to this other land and you will provide for me. Right? It's absolutely like this concept. You will, I don't know, I will go by faith. You know, and you will do all these things for me. You will protect me. You will provide for me. And then when the hard times hit, you know, people go, why, God? I gave up my job for you. I gave up everything for you. And then it's like, why am I in this state?
Separation is the issue because we want to separate.
So dangerous.
That's
so dangerous.
See,
it's like it's
the issue is not that God is synchronized to us. The problem is we are not synchronized to the whole thing, you know, and we separate us ourselves to all these things. Especially I see in this ministry lingo, I'm a full-time minister of the word of God. I'm like, what is full-time, what is part-time? I mean, no, if you leave your job and you start preaching only the word, the Bible, the scripture, you call yourself full-time. And if you're doing your job and you're preaching, then it's called part-time ministry. I mean, what is that? I remember one of my someone whom I know recently went through a bypass surgery and was almost he's a preacher, so almost 1 month he did not preach the word. And he came after 1 month on YouTube and he said, you know, I went through a bypass surgery for 1 month. I could not preach the word. So today is the first day after 1 month I'm preaching the word. I'm like, what? I am the word of God. Even if I am in the hospital bed and the doctors are operating on me, they are literally seeing the living epistle. I'm preaching to the doctors. I'm preaching to everybody. There is no nothing called as I can take a break from preaching the word. I mean, when I'm running and I go for this calisthenic body exercises and all these youngsters are out there, they literally come to me and say, I can feel positive vibes from you. We feel so nice sitting with you, talking to you, being around you. I'm like, and I don't speak about Jesus to them at all. But isn't that wonderful that they still see the living epistle, the word in me, even when I'm doing exercises? And this is how I think Christian mind has to change, and we have to say we are preaching the word 24/7.
Exactly.
You see, it's not something separate. We can't separate it. We can't say this is part-time, this is full-time ministry, this is you know, all that stuff. I mean, so many people, especially here in this side of the earth, the world, in India, it's like, oh, I left my job because I want to do full-time ministry. I left my job. I want to serve God. I mean, what do you mean that the person, I mean, Paul was doing tents and also preaching the gospel. You mean to say Paul was a half-time, doing half-time ministry, and you are doing full-time ministry?
Yeah.
We need to change Reprint. That lingo, you know?
Yeah.
Change that language.
Yeah,
it all starts with separation.
Live by faith, right? People always say, I live by faith. You know, in other words, okay, no man gives me money. Like, I don't get money from anybody. I live by faith, right? I used to be like that too. It's like, but the thing is, and it's almost like a holified, glorified form of, you know, just saying like, yeah, you know, it's really pride, you know, it's like self-righteous pride a little bit, you know, like God will provide for me and stuff like that without actually using the body, the mind and everything that God has equipped you with.
Exactly. Now, the reason, you know, the thing is, we have to understand the God that we have is a God of valley and also the hills. So we have to, when we get into spirituality in Christianity, it's like we start already moving into the third heavens and we forget that we are on earth. And that's the whole problem, you know. I mean, we have to be the living epistle all the time. And the whole idea when we say, I want to preach the gospel, what do you mean preaching the, what do you mean evangelism? For me, evangelism is just making somebody smile. I mean, I've given them Christ without even taking the name of Christ. Evangelism is just encouraging someone, just helping someone. And you know this scripture where the jailer, Paul is, Paul or Peter, I don't know who he is. He's come out of the prison, the prison doors have opened, and the jailer literally falls down at his feet and says, "What shall I do to save?" And they say, "Believe in Jesus and you and your household will be saved." Now my question is, what he's asking now, and we apply that scripture for going to heaven. We say, okay, believe in Jesus, you and your household will go to heaven. No, he is not asking about whether I should go to heaven, how to go to heaven. He's asking about how to get saved from that situation. And and we have applied it to heaven and hell situation actually. What is preaching gospel? Preaching gospel is just helping somebody, sometimes just saving someone, helping someone, and helping people around, helping that refugee guy and the family. Is that is called preaching the gospel? Just help the guy, the family, you have literally preached the gospel. So for me, the gospel is just going ahead and helping someone. It's not just telling people, hey, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then after you die, you'll go to heaven. That's not what actually it is.
I mean, I think the thing about doing things in love is very important, because that is like sharing the gospel, yes. But the deeper part of it is when you have a chance is to also bring them into the nature and the essence of who they are,
yeah,
right? Because yeah, that is the name of Jesus. Because like when I share stuff like that, people will say, are you saying we don't need Jesus? You know what I mean? Basically, you'll come to a point where people, they go, oh my God, this is all New Age Universalist stuff where you throw out the name of Jesus. I said, it's not that. I'm not throwing out the name of Jesus, but first of all, the first portal, the first gateway you go through is to actually have relationship with people, you know, is to be able to meet their need of their, you know, that you relate to them on that dimension of who they are, of the wrong image of who they are. You relate to them before you can bring them into the right image, yeah, of who they should be. And it's all after the template of the firstborn, yeah, the incarnate being. You know, we are all an incarnate divine being. But that's the thing. First of all, step one is to be able to relate. So in the same way, the multidimensional unseen spirit had to come into a human form, you know, in this Jesus of Nazareth, to be able to show us what an incarnate human being looks like and what he does and how he operates in such power.
Yeah,
right?
Completely agree.
So the thing is we relate to other people first in their dimension, right? As they are within their limited programs. And that's how when you sit like with your young people, you encourage them, you love them, you speak their lingo, you actually come on their terms.
Yeah.
You know, and then going further would be to show them, you know what? You can have these same positive vibes. You can have this same overcoming power. You can have this same ruling over your emotions. How? By walking in the same template. Let me introduce you to who you really are. Wow. And unveil the Christ in you. I mean, that is the gospel. That is true evangelism, where Amazing. we take them from that dimension of who they are to who they truly are.
Amazing. Awesome. This was too good.
I like what Kirby say, that, you know, like what you say, right? You gave up your work. Paul is a very successful businessman and tent maker. But yeah,
because he seek ye first the kingdom of God, therefore he's a very successful king, a tent maker, and he minister everywhere he goes, which is exactly like what Kirby say, that we want to be excellent in our workplace. We don't need to give up our workplace and everybody run to church. Then nobody's working then. Then who minister to the world, right?
Yeah.
Then
absolutely.
How do we become excellent in a workplace? Like what you say that if a preacher is sick in the hospital, do you take a break from God? But then the hospital is the best place for you to minister and to show off who God is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do we, this is what I have the same thing. How do you seek ye first the kingdom of God? Doesn't mean that you gave up everything. Then you don't feed your wife, you don't feed your children. Then
yeah.
I don't think there's any God that will want you to do that, right?
Absolutely.
Then you don't believe in the God. You can't sit at home and wait for the two fish to turn up in your fridge, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I like what Kirby say. How do we, it's a practice, how do we at the workplace also walk out the Christ? That is really practicing what we learn, right? To be the very best in where we are at work and manifest the way that we don't work like the way people work. That in itself is a practice.
Glorify God in the workplace.
Glorifying God in the workplace. And that is actually what you are doing, Brother Vernu. Every day you're doing exercise, you're excellent in it. Meditation, you're excellent in it. Everything, even cooking, you're making ice cream, you're excellent in it. So that is walking out Christ in every second. So wherever you might see you, I'm like, wow, this is so cool. And everybody here, you know, it's like I'm so inspired by everybody. And Debbie, your scholar brain is so amazing.
Don't know about that one, but yeah, okay, I'll take it, I receive it.
I mean, some of my religious friends who are there, like so-called, we call them prophets here, like they literally like, what? I got a call yesterday from someone. It's like, I did a video on suicide, no suicide. This was quite funny video. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Yeah, it's really nice. And somebody lifted you up to the bar. That was so cool.
Yeah. So somebody, like one of my friend called me up. He's also a prophet working into the prophetic ministry. Like, hey, I saw your video. What happened to you? What's wrong with you? What are you doing? like you know, the religious mind cannot understand this. And it's like, oh, you know, a guy who's preaching the word has to be in a suit, blazer in the church, white suit with a Holy Spirit badge on his left pocket, and he should be very formal and all that stuff. That kind of I think we have put that kind of picture into people's mind. And you should not be doing all this stuff. And again, that mind, that picture is pointing out to separation. You are a preacher, you are a prophet, you need to be, you know, like this. You can't wear a banyan and do a Zoom call right now. This makes you ineffective in your ministry. Running makes you ineffective. These are all worldly things. I think that's the whole thing. And then when you are in the hospital, you are really not preaching the word. You are. And then you have to come after 1 month and say, oh, for 1 month I did not preach the word.
I think they're saying, you know, the way I see is that, you know, this Vernu, he's spending so much time in exercising, in meditation, in cooking, in making ice cream and all this food recipe. When does he find time to preach? You're preaching while you're doing all that. You're teaching. Exactly. Life. Yeah.
Yeah, our life is a living epistle, right? We are model of, we need to show that we are Christ on earth. And I see Jesus like that, right? How do you really see Jesus in the Bible? This guy was sleeping on the in the boat. This guy was parting hard. In the first miracle, he was parting hard there. And sometimes he's sleeping on the boat. And God knows what he was doing. So many places. And sometimes he's just like, hey, he's telling his disciples, I'm hungry, go and get some food. He's telling the woman at the well, I'm thirsty, I want to drink water. I mean, he was so natural, but yet so supernatural. And I think, and he never searched for platforms. Sometimes the boat became his platform. He preached a whole sermon on the boat, but could not change anybody's heart. But he is going for fishing, and he changes Peter's heart. I mean, that's so amazing, this guy was. And I think we are going to redefine what really that authentic Jesus was in the Bible by our own lifestyle. I mean, each one of you, we are all in that same Christ, and we are Christ on earth. And
yeah, I like to put it this way, you know, that each one is a unique expression of the fullness of God, of Christ. So in other words, it's like, you know, Glenita, for example, is Glenita Christ. It's like that is the way she expresses God, you know. And everybody else, Judy expresses God differently from me, and we have to express God differently because he's so multidimensional.
Absolutely.
Right? So he comes in so many different ways, and to limit God to a white dog collar, you know, and a black suit, that's very limiting. He must be able to be seen in a sportsman, a cook. He must be able to see his glory. Must be able to be seen in all these different ways.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It must be expressed. You know, we're all an expression.
Yeah.
You know, how boring is a painting, you know, when there's only one style of painting.
This and is it's like what Kirby is leaving out every day. He's like what you're doing, right? He will go exercising. He'll talk about for 5-day program for like 10 years, he's been doing this and teaching us a lifestyle, actually changing the whole demographic in Colombo itself, that people at one point stop eating meat, they go more green. So you see more green juices, more salad bar that just came out because of, wow, you really change. You know, people not taking the diets that's changed, that really changed everything. It's like you see him exercising the whole time. Melissa and Fiona is exercising the whole time. Do they have any time to preach actually, right? And we'll be preaching somewhere and say, okay, let's go and eat something. Then we'll all go and have something to eat. And then, okay, let's go here. We'll go. He'll stop something. Let's go. So we'll just follow him and go everywhere. It's almost like Jesus, right? Okay, guys, let's go eating. And say, have you guys eaten, Jesus, right? Hey, have you eaten? And he'll be cooking and doing something and everybody will be eating. So really, the life is, this is life, right? This is how you live, right? So good.
It's I call it out of performance zone, you know, out of performance zone. It's like, you know, for us, it's like preaching the word is become performance. And I mean, I've been preaching now almost more than 14, 15 years. And I know what it is now to be in that performance zone. Like when you're on stage, you are like the prophet. You need to be behaving in a certain way, but when you're at home, that whole mask goes away. Like now I'm trying to become, you know, everywhere the same, you see, like my church members, the youth that I am, like he's the same guy on the stage. When he's on the pulpit, he's the same. When he's talking with me privately, he's the same everywhere. There is, he's not a split personality. Like, so I try to be same when I'm on the pulpit, be the same everywhere, you know. No performance. I mean, I'm tired of performance. And we need to be in that place.
So much easier to be yourself, isn't it?
Exactly.
You don't have to put on different masks. You know, okay, this is my Sunday mask. This is different from my Saturday mask. And this is different from my Monday mask.
I have some like prophets, friends who are like Asia's best prophet. He can tell names, numbers, details, address, everything. So, I mean, like, blows your mind. And like, when I see like people leaving him, his ministry people leaving him. And sometimes it makes me wonder, this guy is like so awesome at his job in prophesying. Why are people leaving him? And then it makes me think, because you see, when we idolize a person, we look at the person in certain way. And then when we see the natural man of that person, we see, oh, the mask is lifted off. Then we get offended. And, you know, and then we leave the person. We never expected the person in that way. And now, how can he be so natural? So it's like a shock to the person. And then I saw many people leaving him. And, you know, that's what happens when we get into the performance. Like, people look at you in certain way when you're in the pulpit, but when they get more closer and closer to you, they start seeing your authentic self, and then that doesn't agree with them, and then they leave you and go. So it's better to always show your authentic self, who you are.
Yeah, be real.
Be real.
That's right.
Like
it also actually reminds me of a conversation we had in one of these fellowships a long time ago, some months ago, where, you know, where we're talking about, you know, like famous men of God, right? They die, they heal other people, they can do all these wonderful things, but then they themselves, you know, die, right? And it's like, why, when they're so sort of spiritual giants, right? Yeah. How come they die, you know, like this, you know, Miles Monroe, airplane crash, all these different things. Yeah. And this is why, like, you know, when you have somebody like Kirby or whatever who does Iron Man and does different things, this is exactly why. Like, now when I meet men of God, I tell them, you know what? I really want to talk to you about cellular health. I really want it, because you're a good man and you need to last a long time.
Exactly.
And you know, good men die young only because of a lack of ignorance, not
lack
anything
of
else.
Knowledge.
Lack of knowledge, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I make it a point to talk to people, all these spiritual people, about physical health, because I go, you know, you're so good. I love all that you bring to the table, but I really feel obliged to tell you about your physical state, you know.
And so important. I just realized when this guy got a heart issue, this is what he said to me. Like, he had an open heart surgery. This is what, hey, Vernal. And when I was doing all these things, they were laughing at me. And now, and when the issue happened, it's like, I wish I would exercise like you. This wouldn't have happened.
Exactly right. Yeah. That's why I really, right now, like, the main thing, actually, when I meet is all these pastors, preachers, all these good men of God, blah, blah. I basically bring them down to cellular health, and I go, hey, you know what? I need to tell you something. I just to create an awareness, because I don't want you to have your life cut off when you are such a great vessel, right?
Exactly.
God wants to use you.
Exactly.
You know, long time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Let's get out of the performance zone. And just, I mean, God has given this life to us. Let's look at this life, enjoy every bit of this life. When, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible which says, do everything for the glory of God. Everything for the glory. So when we breathe, that's where the conversation started. We breathe for the glory of God with that consciousness, Christ consciousness. When we exercise, glory of God. When we work out, glory of God, run, cook, everything, that's because we are the glory of God. We are the living epistle. Just do it. Drinking water, everything. And the major issue that religion has put is the separation mindset, where we are separating this stuff as worldly stuff. We call it worldly, and spiritual stuff is only the church stuff, praying over people, preaching the word, taking the Bible in the hand, and all that stuff. When we separate that, I mean, we are actually digging our own grave. And as Debbie said, let's get, to small things of our life, enjoy everything. I know, when I run, now I've started training for the marathon. When I run, I'm learning so much just by running. It's like it's sometimes so difficult, but I'm learning so much. The process is so beautiful. The journey is so beautiful that we will never get in, any time. It's so beautiful, you know, running and doing all this stuff, exercising. We really enjoy our life. I thank God that God has awakened our minds to this reality, that we have understood that everything is spiritual and everything is life, is pertaining to godliness. So that's so amazing. Hey, doggy.
Yeah, this is my exercise.
Wow.
Yes, my morning exercise after meditation. You take these guys.
Wow. Love that. Okay, guys, I think we are good enough today. Thank you so much for joining in this morning. It was such a fruitful thing. I learned so much from you guys. Again, this fellowship itself is so spiritual. This time that we speak and talk, it's like we are sharing the Christ within us.
Seriously, I mean, for me anyway, this fellowship is like really gives me different perspectives and a revelation. And I feel like, I just want to get now to crystallize it and write something about it, because it's so good. Yeah,
it is.
Thank you for the revelations.
It Great. Is. I'm reading the living epistle that you are, and you are reading the living epistle that I am.
Exactly. We all the word this morning, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm reminded also of that verse, glorify God in your body.
Yeah.
Remember that verse? Yeah, that's so heavy. That's really what it is.
Awesome, okay. Guys. Thank you so much. Yes, Jasper. Judy, thank you so much. Elfie, Annie, Daniil, my father-in-law, Jennifer, Chansey, Catherine, Lise, Pauline. Thank you guys for joining in. I'll be uploading this video on the YouTube.
I think we must apologize in case we hogged the call today. And maybe other people, I think, everybody, if you really have something, we have to just butt in,
Yeah.
Like don't be so, you don't have to be polite.
Yes.
You don't have to be polite on this call. You can just like, you have something to say, just butt in and say it. And somewhere it always happens. If you guys have been on Mike's calls, the Zoom calls, you have like sometimes three people trying to say something and they're all overriding each other, but it will ultimately come out. So yeah, I just wanted to apologize in case you felt like, I didn't get a chance to say anything today.
Exactly. And you don't feel like leaving this. I mean, it's so early in the morning. I slept, I think, just 2 hours, and I feel so fresh after this. I just want to continue speaking. You guys need to come drop in your questions, and there's no right and wrong. Fellowship time is one of the best time I think I have. I enjoy more than the meditation. This is meditation itself. Okay, guys, I'm speaking lots. Bless you. Love you, guys. See you soon. Take care. Bye.
God bless. Thank you, everybody.